for him, he'd lost the fucking plot. Her mouth curved into a smile. The full bottom lip and the pronounced bow above combined to give her a permanent moo that promised kisses of incredible softness. Kisses that Guy knew kept their promise. But that wasn't the point. You didn't propose to a girl just because she kissed like an angel. Rishenda lifted her hand and ran her finger across his cheek.
My nearly husband, she murmured.
Guy gulped. Now was the moment he should retract his proposal. Put it down to a surfeit of tailors. Explain that he was prone to acts of foolhardiness and impulsiveness when he overdid it. It was practically his party piece, proposing to girls when he was drunk. He never expected them to take him seriously. But Rishenda obviously had. He knew there would be a high price to pay if he backtracked. There wasn't a woman on the planet who would take kindly to a man reneging on his demands for her hand in marriage. It was, after all, the highest insult, the ultimate rejection. He imagined there would be hysterics, recriminations, tantrums, possibly physical violence. But how long could that reasonably last? If she had any pride, she'd take the first available train back to London. So he would have to tolerate 2 hours of torture at the most, compared to a possible lifetime. He cleared his throat, then felt her hand with the incriminating heirloom slide up his thigh. He started half-heartedly.
Shh,
she commanded softly, a mischievous twitch playing at the corners of that beautiful mouth. Then her head disappeared under the blankets, and Guy felt his resolve slither away. He tried wildly to grasp at reason, but reason was telling him he'd have to be mad to reject her now. There wasn't a man in the country who wouldn't swap places with him. The most photographed lips in England were circling his cock. She'd been voted the country's sexiest woman by a leading lad mag, and that was without revealing any more than the most discreet peep of her décolletage. Only Guy knew the truth about her breasts, the perfect little handfuls like Marie Antoinette's coup de champagne. She was the success story of the year, darling of the small screen, the gossip columns and the paparazzi. It was rumoured that she'd just signed a 7-figure golden handcuff deal with ITV. And that was the sticking point. Never mind the heavenly blowjob. When you had a 15th-century manor house falling down around your ears, you didn't look a gift horse in the mouth. Afterwards, Guy could never be sure quite why it was he hesitated. Was it because he was a coward, too afraid to face up to her bitter recriminations? Was it because he was mercenary and saw in her newly acquired wealth the answer to all his problems? Or was it because he felt as if he was about to explode into a million exquisite particles of fairy dust? As he let out a groan that was part despair, part ecstasy, he knew he had lost his chance. He had to go along with it now. At least for the time being. Strangely, once he'd reached his climax, his resolve stiffened again. Rishenda protested as he slid out from between the blankets, but he patted her reassuringly.
I'm going to bring you tea.
He ran down the sweeping staircase to the hall, with its magnificent panelling and huge fireplace. He noted with relief that the swords were in their place. The production team had been told that when they left Eversley Manor, it should be as if they had never been there. Someone must have been sober enough last night to put them back. No one wanted to incur the wrath of his mother, the formidable Madeline. He slipped along the corridor past the dining room and through the swinging baize door into the warmth of the kitchen, where he filled the kettle and placed it on the Aga hot plate. All the time, he was mentally assessing what damage limitation could be done without coming across as a total bastard. He'd tell her he wasn't good enough for her. That he wasn't ready to